All right, we'll get started. You guys, that's the first time I got to do that. I've been a chair for 2 years, and I finally get to wield a gavel in real life. I will call this meeting a hybrid hearing of the Judiciary Finance and Civil Law Committee to order. Today is April 7th, 2022. I guess this is still being held in accordance with Rule 10.01, which allows us to do things hybrid. We will go ahead with the hybrid roll. Go ahead, Michaela.
Becker Finn.
Present.
Muller.
Present.
Scott.
Present.
Feist.
Present.
Frazier.
Present.
Grossel.
Present.
Herr.
Present.
Hollins.
Present.
Johnson.
Present.
Liebling.
Present.
Long.
Present.
Mortensen.
Present.
Novotny.
Present.
Farr.
Present.
Robbins.
Present.
Fang.
Present.
Zhang.
All right, a quorum is present. That goes a lot faster when I don't have to wait for you guys to unmute. That was good. So the next item on the agenda is approval of the minutes. I will need a motion to approve the minutes of April 5th, 2022. Representative Hollins.
So moved, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Representative Hollins moves the minutes of April 5th, 2022. Any discussion to the minutes? Also weird to not just look for raised hands. I actually have to look around the room. So all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? All right, the minutes are approved. With that, we're gonna move on to our finance omnibus. So I am going to pass the real gavel to Vice Chair Moore.
Oh, you're so far away, Chair Becker Finn.
It's actually nice to see somebody at that table.
It is nice. All right, Chair Becker Finn, would you like to move House File 3920 before us? I believe your motion is that it be referred to the Ways and Means Committee.
Yes, Madam Chair, that is my motion.
All right, and you also have the DE2 amendment. Would you like to move the amendment?
Yep, I will move the amendment before us. And then we've got the amendments to the amendments.
Okay, great. So we'll go straight to those amendments. The first amendment is the A1 amendment. I believe, Chair Becker Finn, that is yours. Are you moving the A1 amendment?
Yep, I will move the A1 amendment. And then we'll go ahead and, so it's an author's amendment. So we'll go through a couple things that it does. So first, following the testimony we had on Tuesday, this just clarifies that the increases for pay for staff are given priority in the judicial line items. And then there are a couple little updates to the Department of Human Rights, changing the word from caseload processing to bias and discrimination data gathering reporting, and then extending the time with which the Department of Human Rights has to spend the money. This also adds back in House File 833, which is the post-conviction relief, our Representative Herr's bill, and then adds in the bill that we heard last year, House File 2257, on was one of my bills on Ramsey County fine revenue, if members remember. There's a weird kind of hiccup in the law in that Ramsey County suburban cities get a smaller percentage of fine revenue than every other city in the state. So this would just correct that inequity. And I think that's it. There's two different provisions and sections in here that relate to post-conviction relief, but it's the language straight from House File 833. And that
okay.
is the A1.
Thank you, Chair Becker Finn. Discussion to the A1 amendment. Okay, I'm not seeing anybody in person. Any hands raised online? All right, so seeing no discussion on the A1, Chair Becker Finn, did you have anything further to say?
I think that House Research had advised that we do these amendments as roll calls as well, so just want to make sure we do that. So.
Okay, very good. We will have the clerk take the roll.
Becker Finn?
Aye.
Muller?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Feist?
Aye.
Frazier?
Aye.
Grossel?
Aye.
Herr?
Aye.
Hollins?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Liebling?
Aye.
Long?
Aye.
Mortensen?
No.
Novotny?
Aye.
Barr?
Aye.
Robbins?
Aye.
Fang?
Aye.
Zhang? That is 15 ayes and one nay.
The motion prevails, and the A1 amendment is adopted. We'll move on to the A2 amendment, and Representative Scott, I believe that's yours. Would you like to move your amendment?
Yes, Madam Chair, I would move the A2.
All right, please go ahead and explain it.
Thank you, members. So what this does is it changes where the money comes from. And rather than having the money come from the general fund on these two line items, one is the COVID response, and I believe that's to the courts, and then the other is the the electronic file storage and remote hearing access. So I'm taking those appropriations and wanting to take the money from the COVID ARP funds that we still have $1.015 billion of. And I think that it's a good thing for the legislature to spend this money. We're the ones that hold the purse strings typically, and we're the ones that spend money. And if we don't spend it by June 15th, it goes to the governor for him to spend it. And so I feel like it's an appropriate use of these COVID dollars, these two line items. And I would ask for member support.
All right. Discussion to the A2 amendment. Chair Becker-Finn.
I thank you, Madam Chair. And I appreciate, still wanting to make sure these things are funded, but would recommend a no vote. We have plenty of general fund dollars available, and I don't want to run into a problem where it's something that the courts need and this money gets eaten up elsewhere, as I know a lot of other folks have been trying to get access to that money. So happy to answer any other questions, too, if members have them.
Representative Johnson.
Chair Becker-Finn, members, well, there is an agreement that the legislature is supposed to spend this money. To this point, there hasn't been one bill dealing with these federal funds that the legislature has to appropriate before June 15th. We are in the last days of committee meetings doing the final omnibus bill. If the legislature reneges on their responsibility for this over $1 billion, it now goes to the governor to spend how he wants. There was an agreement last year dealing with these funds that the legislature would appropriate these funds. And unfortunately, right now, the legislature is not doing their obligation. We need to start using these funds and putting these forwards, or we just give these funds to the governor to spend however he wants without legislator approval. And the legislature is the one responsible for these funds and how the funds are spent. And it's up to the governor to sign or veto our appropriations. Please support this amendment.
Thank you. Further discussion to the amendment?
Madam Chair.
Chair, Representative Scott.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to reiterate that we don't want to abdicate our responsibility here. This is the legislature's purview to spend these dollars, and so I would ask for member support.
All right, thank you. I'm not seeing any other hands in the room, and nor are there any online. So we will have the clerk take the roll on the A2 amendment.
Becker-Finn?
No.
Mueller?
No.
Scott?
Aye.
Feist?
No.
Frazier?
No.
Grossel?
Aye.
Herr?
No.
Hollins?
No.
Johnson?
Aye.
Liebling?
No.
Long?
No.
Mortensen?
Aye.
Novotny?
Aye.
Barr?
Aye.
Robbins?
Aye.
Fang? Representative Vang? Zhang?
No.
That is 7 ayes and 9 nays.
The motion does not prevail and the A2 amendment is not adopted. Next, we'll move on to discussion of the DE2 as amendment. Chair Becker-Finn.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and just wanted to take a couple minutes to talk about the bill. And, you know, I think as far as omnibus finance bills go, I think this one is actually pretty straightforward. You know, we've been talking for a long time about how the justice system only functions when we adequately fund it. And so I think I do want to sort of ground us in this idea that it is, if we're talking about our legislative responsibilities, it is our legislative responsibility to fund the judicial branch, to fund public defense, and to fund civil legal services. And to that, I know when we first introduced the bill to fund civil legal services and the public defenders, there were some comments about the size of that number. And, oh, I see you've got the Cadillac bill. This is not a Cadillac bill. Adequate funding to reach basic functionality is not a luxury. And so the insinuation that by adequately funding something, I mean, the reality and what we should be realizing is the size of that number is an indication of how we have failed to a really large degree for a really long time. So I think instead of sort of seeing it, seeing that increase and thinking about like, oh, that's so much more money than usual, you know, usually they just ask for a little bit. Well, I thought, and we asked the questions last year, you know, this has really been years in the making of really asking asking our public defense board, asking civil legal services, asking the courts, like instead of being afraid to ask for what you need to serve our citizens, we need to know what that number is so that we can do it, so that we can do it adequately. You know, and the analogy we've been using is sort of, you know, this isn't a Cadillac plan right now. Our system is funded, especially when it comes to public defense, where, you know, we've had so much testimony over the last 2 years on the ways that we are failing our citizens when it comes to caseloads, when it comes to the attention that each of these people and their cases deserve. Right now, our civil legal services are only able to serve 45% of the people who, you know, if only half the people who come to their door, they're able to help and they're turning away those other people, that really is a problem. We should all be distressed by that idea. You know, the system right now, we don't even have a car. The system right now is hitching rides with friends and taking a bike to work. And what this bill does is get us to a functional vehicle. And that's what we're trying to use right here. That's what we're trying to do. And then I just wanted to also like share a lot of the public, the media attention. Obviously, it is a constitutionally required that we fund our public defense system. But I did want to talk a little bit about civil legal services and the impact on real people that those services have. I don't think I've actually shared in this committee before, but when I was in law school, I volunteered with legal aid and I helped out on some disability benefit cases. And so, you know, for example, you know, we might have someone who, there was a gentleman, just going to use the word Frank, who I worked with, who was in a car accident. His injuries didn't improve. He ended up losing his job. He desperately needed those benefits. As happens with paperwork being filed with the feds, sometimes something was misfiled and he was just waiting months and months and months to get those dollars that were going to help him pay his bills. And it was civil legal aid was who was able to help him navigate that system, you know, able to do represent him in phone hearings and really advocate for him to make sure that he got those benefits that he deserved. And so that's something that that's just one example, as well as people might not realize that civil legal services does a lot for people who are seeking orders for protection in domestic violence cases. Certainly saw that in my time working in family court in my early days as a lawyer. And you know, those are the folks that are helping people in their worst times. So you imagine you're in an abusive situation, you've got kids at home, and you finally gets to a point where you're finally able to leave that situation. And you go down to the Domestic Abuse Service Center in Minneapolis, and you're trying to get an order for protection. So you have none of your things, you have nowhere to go home to, you have your kids with you, you have nothing, you have what you can carry. And it's assigning those cases out to civil legal attorneys who can help them navigate that system. You know, you're really, when you're in crisis, you're really not at a point to figure out legal paperwork and forms. And that those are the kind of things where legal aid can really be effective and helpful for people to make sure that they are protected. So I just wanted to highlight a couple of those things, because I think although it doesn't rise to the same level as the constitutional requirements of public defense, I think that civil legal services is something that people in every single county in our state benefit from on a regular basis. And it's really distressing to think that half of those people are being turned away. So that's the heart of this bill. That's what this bill does. I'm really proud of this bill. I think it does a lot of good things. And happy to turn it over to member discussion or questions.
All right, thanks. So we will turn it over to member discussion right now. Do we have any comments? This is going to be a really short hearing. Representative Frazier.
I won't take too long then. Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, thank you again for bringing this bill. Just to your point about how this isn't a Cadillac bill or a windfall, which is one of the headlines that I read the other day, I mean, this really does speak to the lack of investments that we've had over decades into these services. Speaking as a former public defender, I know the resources were not there for me to adequately service the clients the way that I should have as an attorney. And I know that every public defender does their best to do everything that they can to adequately service their clients, but these resources would be very helpful in terms of recruitment and retention and being able to do the best they can for their clients, who are all poor clients, and they really deserve the best services they can get. So thank you for bringing this bill. And one more. And just one more thing. This goes back to the previous vote we had. Representative Johnson, you mentioned that we had not passed the bill off the floor dealing with those ARPA funds. House File 2900, the frontline workers' pay, it would allow to use those ARPA funds to cover that bill. Just wanted to point that out.
Thanks, and thanks for that clarification. I was thinking about that bill, too, but I haven't finished my second cup of coffee yet, so didn't want to jump in and say that. Further discussion to this bill as amended. Go ahead, Representative Scott.
I guess I'll go. Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to say, there's some good stuff in this bill and there's some bad stuff, and that's the nature of omnibus bills. And there are some appropriations in here that I personally, in our side of the aisle, don't agree are necessities. And maybe they're nice things to have, but I don't believe they're necessities. But so I would encourage my side of the table here, my side of the aisle, for a no vote, and hopefully some of these issues that we have problems with will be worked out in conference. And that's really my only comment, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Scott. Is there anybody online that has their hand raised? Okay, doesn't seem like any. Chair Becker-Fenn.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, members. I think it, unlike a lot of bills this week, we split up the policy and the finance, which I think does help us focus, which I think is helpful, although it caused some extra work for our staff. So I just really want to ground us in what we're trying to accomplish here. And I think to Representative Scott's comments, certainly looking forward to some good negotiations with Chair Limmer. I think we actually, this is a year where there are more same and similars than I think in some past years. And so I am very hopeful that we can really make some important changes here. I just thank members for the support. This is a good bill. This is a functional bill. This is the least that we can do for our justice system and the people of Minnesota. So thank you, Madam Chair.
All right. Thank you. So the vote we're going to take now is on the DE2 as amended, and the clerk will take the roll.
Becker-Fenn.
Aye.
Mueller?
Aye.
Scott?
No.
Feist?
Aye.
Frazier?
Aye.
Grossel?
No.
Kerr?
Aye.
Hollins?
Aye.
Johnson?
No.
Liebling?
Aye.
Long?
Aye.
Mortensen?
No.
Novotny?
No.
Barr?
No.
Robbins?
No.
Fang?
Aye.
Zhang?
Aye.
That is 10 ayes and 7 nays.
The motion prevails and the DE2 as amended is adopted. All right, so then we need to vote on House File 3920 as amended. And the motion is Chair Becker Finn's motion that House File 3920, as amended, be referred to the Ways and Means Committee, and the clerk will take the roll.
Becker Finn?
Aye.
Mueller?
Aye.
Scott?
No.
Feist?
Aye.
Frazier?
Aye.
Grossel?
No.
Kerr?
Aye.
Collins?
Aye.
Johnson?
No.
Liebling?
Aye.
Long?
Aye.
Mortensen?
No.
Novotny?
No.
Farr?
No.
Robbins?
No.
Fang?
Aye.
Zhang?
Aye.
That is 10 ayes and 7 nays.
The motion prevails and House File 3920, as amended, is referred to the Ways and Means Committee. And I'm turning an actual gavel back over to Chair Becker Finn. Do you want me to just...
You just move that.
Yeah. Okay.
Easier to move the gavel from the body.
Yeah.
we're a little out of practice, I guess. So obviously this is our last committee, regular committee hearing of the biennium. Of course, you never know what's going to come up, and we are always ready to serve if it is called for. Just want to thank all of you. Not going to get teary, but I think we've been a good committee, and I really I do think, compared to some of the other committees that I've served on in the years I've been here, I really do appreciate Representative Scott. I think we've always been able to interact in a really respectful, open way, and I think that's at the top, I think, filters down to the rest of our committee members, and I think that's really important, and I really do appreciate that. And I also, especially in today of all days, because our staff actually had to do quite a bit of extra work that they weren't wasn't routine to get us here in person. And I really we have amazing staff. I know people say that all the time, but we say it all the time because it can't be said enough. Both our nonpartisan folks, I know most of them are on Zoom today. We got our fiscal analyst. We got John Walls here in person. So it's good to see you today, John. And the parts that the public don't see are the emails that come into our inboxes after midnight. Really the dedication of both our partisan and nonpartisan staff to make sure that we have all these nice typed up pieces of paper in front of us when we do our work. So, just want to thank our staff again. It just really can't be said enough. Representative Scott.
If you're finished, Madam Chair, I don't want to interrupt.
Yeah,
you.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to echo what you said, and I appreciate your staff as well, and they've been super great to work with, super accommodating, and I know Callie and Bryn have really worked well together, and it takes that to make a committee run. So, I want to thank you, Madam Chair, because you've been fair and balanced, and I appreciate always giving the opposition time to speak. You haven't cut us off for the most part, unless we got a little ornery. But I do appreciate the committee work that you've done and really trying to run a fair committee. So I just want to thank every member here. I hope you have what we'll see around on the floor and everything. It's been a good committee. You get a lot of credit for that, and your staff as well. And I also want to thank nonpartisan and partisan staff. They've just been really, really super and professional. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Representative Scott. I think it wasn't fun, but one of the benefits of having served in the minority in my first term is that you do really get to appreciate both sides and wanting to make sure that it's as fair as it can be, even with the power differentials. So with that, members, again, thank you. I think we've moved two good omnibus bills out of this committee. I think I've told you guys I'm a stats person. So I think our committee has passed more bills off the House floor this year. I think last year too. So I really appreciate that this is a committee where we can get stuff done no matter what's going on at the leadership level. So really appreciate that and appreciate all of you. Thanks for coming all the way here for a 25-minute hearing. It's still good to see you in person. I think it was worth it. So with that, members, we are adjourned.